morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
They are indeed. Good morning to
good,
both of you.
Good morning, brother. Are you behaving yourself over there?
I'm behaving.
You've got all kinds of stuff
going
on.
I'm trying to get my stuff within arm's reach.
You don't have stuff.
I'm writing a book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know the title of it, don't you?
You want me to say it?
Go ahead.
Stuff happens.
Stuff happens. Life is full of stuff.
You got that right.
And so I thought I'd just put some of my thoughts down about some of the stuff that I've encountered, that I've been experienced in life.
And endured. You have endured some stuff.
That's an old Dale McCurry song.
Is it really?
I've endured. I've endured.
Hey.
I might put that in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just make sure you... No, I'm just
kidding. Amen. So a little sprinkly this morning, if that's a word. If it isn't, we just made it up.
It is now.
Yeah. But it's a pretty nice morning.
Yeah. We're blessed to be alive.
Amen.
Lord knows what we need, and since
absolutely, He knows. And that's why I don't complain too much about the weather.
Too much.
Too much, yeah.
You know, every once in a while.
We get 3 feet of snow. I'm liable to complain a little
bit. Just a little bit.
So if folks wanted to call us this morning or email us, they could do either, couldn't they?
They could do either. They could call us up at 606-789-0318, 789-0318. You could also email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com. We're also on Facebook Live. If you want to go to our Facebook page, you can see us in the studio as we're talking and presenting the program. A lot of people like to do that. It's, of course, God's Point of View. Just find that on the online, and you'll find the right one. I think you said there was maybe
there's a couple or three there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we've got the great Scott is always willing to talk with you after the program.
Sure.
If you leave him a message, he'll call you back.
Sure.
Or if you want to text him a question, you can do that at 606-367. Let's see now.
Come on.
0137?
That's it. That's it. And I have the cellular device in hand at the moment.
You've got a cellular device. You've got the iPad from the emails. We've got the phone here, and we're ready.
Yeah, AT&T's telling me I'm due for another upgrade, so that must mean another new phone, right?
I'm thinking it's a sales pitch.
A freebie, no doubt.
No.
Well, you know, we had a talk last week about slothfulness versus productivity.
A little sleep, and I'm going to go
back. I want to go back to that in just a moment and just finish the thought about that. But but we want to take care of an email.
Uh-huh.
We had an email last week,
and we
didn't get to it. And so we want to get to it this morning. It says, good morning, Jerry and Timotheus. Can you tell me why God used a dove to send down the Spirit of God to his son Jesus when John baptized him? Why not an eagle or another type of bird? You know, I was thinking a moment ago when you indicated that there was more than one God's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Our picture of our eagle here.
Yeah, courtesy of Ray Reeder.
Courtesy of our brother Ray. It hangs on the wall right over here, Ray. But that usually will come up when you're searching for God's point of view. Just look for that eagle and that flag.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I love that.
That's true.
Anyway, it says, why not an eagle or another type of bird?
That's a great question.
I think so. It says, what was the significance of a dove? And then they asked, they had this. How many years has God's point of view been broadcasting and has it always been on Thursdays? Well, we talked a little bit about that last week, and I went back and looked up some old files. It's been 7 years.
7 years.
And it's always been on Thursdays.
10:30 a.m.
10:30 a.m. We've always needed more time and
still need more time.
But let's talk about this question. Why a dove? You know, as I looked at that picture on the wall, wouldn't that have been wonderful if God had sent down an American eagle?
Oh, I mean, it's just that it's power and it's,
sure.
and its strength and its... eagle's always serious and always
yeah.
on focus, and I could see that.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be an eagle?
Well, like so many other times, we're nothing like God.
Amen.
And so God's...
Isn't that a good thing?
Oh, boy, let me tell you. God's ways are not my ways.
Amen.
Often. And my ways are not his ways. Anyway, when the heavens opened before John, as Jesus came up out of the water, Spirit of God in the form of a dove.
Mm-hmm.
This was promised, you know, in John 1:33, upon whom you see the Spirit descending in the form of a dove and lighting upon him. John says in his Gospel, John 1:33, that he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Then he goes on to talk about the one you see the Spirit descending. So this was a confirming sign to John. The confirming sign was the dove. And by the way, Timotheus and our good listeners and viewers, it's the only time the Holy Spirit was ever represented that way.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the reason. To the Jewish mind of the day, the dove was associated with sacrifice.
Mm.
So, Jews would go to Jerusalem and offer sacrifices three
mm-hmm.
times a year.
Mm-hmm.
Bullocks, or bulls, were sacrificed by the rich. Lambs, by the middle class.
Mm.
But most of the people were poor
mm-hmm.
and could only afford a dove.
Mm.
Jesus, being baptized of John, was showing his humility, first of all. You know, we talked about the eagle. That would have been a symbol of strength and power and prowess. No, Jesus came humbly.
Just like a baby.
Just like a little baby. And so, from the moment of his baptism, rising up out of the water, which, by the way, was also the time when Jesus began his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the law, you had to be at least 30 years of age. And so that was the beginning. And the dove symbolized who Jesus was, not only from God, but how he came, lowly in spirit. And that principle is taught several times in the Old Testament. So I think we've answered that. There's about a two-part question here. I think we've answered it. Even the part about how long we've been on the air. So thanks to our emailers,
Amen.
Our querists who inquire.
Mm-hmm.
About things like that. That's one of the reasons we're on the air. We want to talk to people through the email. We want to talk to people on the phone. And so if you have a comment on that, you can call us at 7890318. Now, Timotheus.
Yes, sir.
I know that when you talk about categories of productivity or laziness, I know which category you're in.
Oh.
Because I know how early you get up.
Yeah, I do get up early.
You may turn on the bed one time.
Yeah.
You know, the sluggard turns over and over. He just goes back to sleep. You
yeah.
don't have that luxury.
I do. The only thing I do have in common is in the verse it says, a little sleep, a little slumber. So I get a little sleep.
You get a little sleep.
A little bit here.
So we talked about definitions.
Mm-hmm.
Two definitions. Here's the definition of productivity. Productivity is an attitude that maximizes God's gifts to us.
Amen.
So if you have the gift of consolation, then you console people. And you do everything you can to maximize that. If you have the gift of preaching, of speaking the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
then you do everything and every opportunity to maximize that opportunity. If you are good at youth work, then you maximize that. Whatever God's gift is to you, you look for ways to be the best at it that you can be.
Now
that's productivity.
Now, what if you know that you have a gift, you know you should be doing something, but you don't?
Well, James covers that well. He said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him,
it's a sin.
It's a sin. So we need to exercise our gifts. I'll tell you why. They're going to expire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like the gift certificate I had?
That you had for 10 years?
Yeah, put it up in a safe place.
It was safe, okay.
Yeah. Use it or you'll lose it. Use it or lose it. I guess that's a pretty good way to say it. Use it or lose it.
And we are but a mist, a vapor.
That's it.
So we may think we have all the time in the world, but in reality, when you start closing in, 60, 70 years old, you're thinking, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't have much time left. Common sense, nature.
I could take that personally, you know.
Tell me if you should take
it personally.
When you were 30.
Yeah.
How much preaching did you know?
Boy.
You knew you had years.
Yeah,
you knew your gift.
35, 40 years ahead, yeah.
Okay, now how much preaching you got left?
Not much, which is why I'm taking advantage of every opportunity I have, which is why we need more time on this show.
Amen.
That's productivity.
Amen.
Now, here's laziness. Here's a good definition of laziness. Laziness or slothfulness is an attitude of indifference. You said it last week.
Whatever.
Indifference toward the time, the talents, the resources, and opportunities God gives us. There are a host of people in this world that are given to slothfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Got people in the church that's given to slothfulness. You say, well, preacher, what can I do to get out of this rut that I'm in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me give you six quick points. The things that you can do in order that you can be productive and not be guilty of laziness or slothfulness.
Now, you're giving these free of charge.
I am indeed. Here's the first one. Start small.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make changes in your life. Don't pick something big.
Yeah, don't overwhelm yourself.
Yeah. Start something small. Now, I do, with my financial background, I've done counseling over the years, still do some. For people, but I've noticed not many people these days seek counseling much when it comes to financial matters. Maybe they're a whole lot like our government. We just spend. But if you got three or four debts, pick the smallest one first and pay it off. And that is a psychological boost for you. Makes you feel like, I can do this.
It'll encourage you.
Let's get the phone call. Let's go and pause
with that for just a second and answer the phone. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Tim Althus. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Good morning to the preacher.
Good morning, brother.
How you doing? I was just wanting to make a comment there that when the floods abated, the second bird that Noah sent out was a dove. And it couldn't find no rest for its feet, and it returned until Noah had a fig leaf near its mouth or something.
Right. You're absolutely right.
And I believe that dove is... got a lot more significance than maybe what you were talking about there. I don't know, but you got a great show, and I enjoy listening to you.
I'll guarantee there's more significance than I know. I need more preaching. I need more years to develop that significance in that dove.
Yeah, that is really what I was thinking about there. You know, it's got to be more to it, I believe.
Yeah, but I'd like to find it. If you find it first, you let us know.
Okay.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, Jerry, and you too, Timotheus.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother, for calling.
I'm sure he's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the dove was used back in Noah's day. Symbolism that in Bible, things that we'll never know until we get to heaven, and then we'll know more about
one
it.
One thing that sticks out in my mind real quick about the dove
is
a dove is gentle.
Yes, sir.
Is a gentle creature. So I think there's a play in that too.
Yeah. Well, we noted Jesus was a person of humility.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come with an army.
Yeah.
He just came
as a baby.
With humility as a small child. That's the whole thing about being born as a baby, isn't it?
Amen.
Coming as a child
in a manger.
All right. So start small. Pay that small debt off first, and that'll give you a psychological boost. In like manner, if you've got some enemies and you've made mistakes, and who hasn't?
Amen.
Then start with the least significant one in your mind. Or if you've done something you shouldn't have done civilly, You know, I ever heard about a fellow one time, Timotheus, that had cheated on his taxes for years. Well, he got saved, came to the Lord Jesus, and he wanted to change his ways. And so he decided, I've got all this money that I've cheated the IRS out of. So he said, I wrote him a check for $500 and included this note. He said, I'm a Christian now. I'm a baptized believer, and I can't live with this guilt. And so I'm going to send you $500. And then down at the bottom it said, P.S. If my conscience still bothers me after this, I'll send you some more. So start small.
Oh, my.
Here's the second thing. Be on time. I'll tell you what, I just can't hardly tolerate people that are not on time. Now, I come in here, we kid about 10:29 and a half, but sometimes it is 10:29 and a half.
But you're on time.
But I'm on time. And so I had a counseling session with a brother years ago, and he about 25 minutes late. When he got there, he came with his jogging outfit on, and he'd been in the gym working out, and he's sashaying around. But I was going to my car. I was leaving.
You were done.
I was done. And he said, where are you going, Pastor? I said, I looked at my watch, and I said, you're 25 minutes late. He said, but I'm here now. And I said, but I'm not. I'm heading out. If you want to meet with me, you be on time. Don't waste my time. So don't waste God's time. And don't waste a time period, because it's going to expire on you. Amen. Start small. Be on time. Number three, do the hardest job first. Wow. I'll tell you what. I used to tell my kids that. Start with the hardest thing, and that way you've accomplished something, and start with them making their bed. Mm. Make your bed, because to kids, that's the hardest job in the world, is getting their bed made. And I used to be a stickler for detail work. In other words, they'd finally get their bed made, and they couldn't make it, to, you know, like I would make it, but they put forth an effort. And
they done the best they could.
I congratulated them for that.
Amen.
And then I showed them areas where they could do a little better. But detail work. Here's a doll over here laying in the floor. Here's a shoe out of place over here. Here's lint and stuff in the floor. Reminded me of the story of the little boy. His mom told him, said, son, come on down. It's time. And he wouldn't come, so she went up and his room was a mess. And she said, let's clean your room up. She looked under the bed, and there was dust under there. Oh, who knows the last time they cleaned it up. And she said, you see this dust? He said, yeah. She said, you need to clean that up. She thought maybe a biblical lesson would help. She said, you know, we were made of the dust of the ground. He said, really? She said, oh, yes. Yeah. Says, we came from dust, and we're going back to dust. So a few days later, She called for him again. He said, Mom, I'm under the bed, and said, there's dust there again, and I can't tell whether it's coming or going. So do the hardest job first. Number four, organize your life.
Yeah.
If folks need a budget. Folks need to know how much money they've got and how much they're spending. You know, the problem with folks and with our government as well, it's not what you got coming in, it's what you got going out.
Amen.
And when your month it is halfway gone, and your money is already gone. You need to organize a little better. That's true of any other area, relationships, your Christian life, whatever it may be. Number five.
Just your time in general.
Sure. Be a steward of it.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, accept correction. This is what most of us cannot do. The Bible says that correction from a righteous person is a good thing. Constructive criticism is another phrase we could use.
Mm-hmm.
People won't, now don't do that publicly. Call someone aside. Call them aside and say, let me talk to you about something. I think it'll help you. And some people receive it, some reject it.
Some take their marbles and go home.
They do. I did that with a bowie knife one time when I was 9 years old. Anyway, that's another sermon for another time.
A bowie knife.
And so here we go. Start small, be on time, do the hardest job first. Organize your life, accept correction, and number six, practice self-denial.
Mm.
That may be the hardest one.
Ooh, that is hard.
So maybe I'll start with that one.
Yeah.
You know, I've got two crosses in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I've got more than that, but two that I'm thinking of where my keys are. Pull out a key and a cross will hit the ground.
Yep.
Happens almost every time. Not every time, but a lot of times. And every time it does, wherever I am or whatever I'm doing, I stop and I say, if any man would come after me, I say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And I pick the cross up. Well, that helps me to slow down. It helps me to remember who I am. helps me to remember I'm to practice self-denial.
It's hard.
It is difficult. It is extremely difficult. But I have one responsibility to God, and that is to live as close to Jesus Christ as I possibly can. And by following just some simple suggestions that we've given today will help us to do that. I'm reminded of Charlemagne. He used to be the king of the Franks back in the 9th century. He gave instructions about his burial. He was to be sitting on his throne. His crown was to be on. He holding his staff in his hand and all his jewelry and everything. Well, he died. They buried him. Hundreds of years later, they unearthed his tomb. And there he was, sitting there with his just a skeleton. Crown tilted on his head, staff slightly falling over, and he had his bony finger, a skeleton finger, pointing to a book on his lap. The book was the Bible, and it was at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 26, which says, "For what will it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?"
Mm-hmm.
My friend, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to start practicing productivity. Don't wait until, as one fellow said one time, I don't want to obey Christ now. I'm going to wait till I'm old. Mm-hmm. Then I'll come to Christ. My friend, you have no guarantee that you'll live to be old.
Amen.
I've held a lot of funerals over the years, and I've had too many funerals of young people. The old must die, and the young may die.
Yep.
And the wisest of men knoweth not how soon. 789-0318, godspointofview@yahoo.com. We got the email up and ready to go here. I'd love to get so many emails, we'd just be bombarded.
Wouldn't you, though?
Oh, I'd love it. And if you want to call us about anything we've talked about thus far, feel free to do so. If you want to bring up another subject, feel free to do so. That as well. Timotheus, did you have anything on your agenda this morning you might want to share with the folks?
Well, the only thing that really sticks out at me, and we've covered this topic a lot, is the new Congress lady from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Miss Omar, I guess, yes, is her name. Boy, there's been some issues there, hasn't there?
There really have been, and I think more issues are coming.
I think we're going to see a lot more. I think this is just, even if it's just the tip of the iceberg,
yeah,
I think there's a whole movement and agenda behind all this.
I think so too, and it always takes us back to Islam. She's a staunch believer, you know, in Islam,
mm-hmm,
and someone was saying the other day that she wears that hijab, and I may not have said that correctly, or hijab, you know,
her covering.
Her covering.
Mm-hmm.
And that indicates that she's a believer in Sharia law.
Hmm.
Well, I don't know that she's a believer in Sharia law, but I do know that they value wearing that covering. I also know that Islam has been, folks have tried to pacify,
yeah,
the religion of Islam, the proponents of it, the adherents of it over the years, and it didn't get them anything. I was thinking recently about Thomas Jefferson. I was reading an article about it. Thomas Jefferson, when he became president, his predecessors had given in to the Barbary Coast individuals, Islam, and the ships had passed by there. And the pirates, that's the word I was looking for, the pirates would come out and demand that they pay them money in order to pass through there. So we paid them thousands of dollars. George Washington did, and others did. Thomas Jefferson said no.
Stop it.
Gonna quit. Not gonna do it. They would attack our merchant ships in the Mediterranean. The pirates not only would capture valuables, but they would, at times, history tells us, hold crews, entire crews for ransom, or sell them on the slave market. Thomas Jefferson said no. European nations in the United States, which was very young,
mm-hmm,
you know, at that time.
Yeah.
Back around 1800 and something, 1801 or two, would pay for protection from these ships.
Mm.
It was a racket.
Yeah.
It was extortion.
Yeah.
Which is all Islam has ever known. Now, you made the disclaimer at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Our views here don't represent WSIP or Fort Broadcasting, but they're our views, and that's my view.
Yeah.
They're racketeers. They're extortionists.
Well, I was really surprised because I mentioned to somebody, I said, it's very hard for me to believe that she came from Minnesota. And they said, don't you know, a lot of people have moved in this one area.
Oh, boy.
Got her voted in, and that's kind of a way that it works.
That's exactly the way it works.
They kind of infiltrate, and then they conquer.
They do. 1803 is the date, by the way.
Okay.
USS Philadelphia ran aground off Tripoli's harbor. This is what history tells us, and the Tripoli pirates captured it. On February 16th, 1804, young Lieutenant Stephen Decatur launched a raid to keep the Tripolitans from using the ship, Tripoli. Disguising themselves as Maltese sailors, Decatur and his men, who included several U.S. Marines, sailed into the Tripoli harbor, boarded the Philadelphia, attacked its crew, and set the ship ablaze and sailed away. The British Admiral Horatio Nelson reportedly called the exploit, quote, the most bold and daring act of the age.
This is where
the line from the U.S. Marine song comes in. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of
Tripoli.
We've fought this bunch for years, and we're still fighting them today. So we're going to be hearing more and more. And I've told this story. Only got 4 minutes. We need more time. I've told this story, now that I'm no longer pastoring full time, I've got a lot more time on my hands to talk about these things.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, I used to be in a texting relationship with a Muslim.
Oh, okay.
And everything was going along fine until I mentioned one word.
And that word was?
I can't pronounce it.
Oh.
Yeah. Antiqua. That's not it, but... Look
it's
up.
In the Quran.
It's in the Quran. It gives them the right to lie.
Mm.
Or deceive if it advances their cause. And so when I ask this individual, what does the word, what does that word mean?
Mm-hmm.
There was a pause, and then he responded, I don't think we should talk anymore.
Oh.
Do all Muslims do that? No. But do the Islamists do that to advance their cause? And their cause is to destroy the United States of America and Israel. And I think recently they've included Britain. Now, some of you listening don't like to hear that. You don't want to believe that, but it's true. If you'll just do a little research, you'll find out I'm telling you the truth.
Now, all Muslims don't believe that, correct?
I'm sure they don't.
Yeah.
Just like all Christians, certain things we don't believe.
Yeah. We're not about seed money.
We're not about it. But, you know, the thing about it is, if you're a Christian, then you believe some cardinal tenets about the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the cardinal tenets about the faith of Islam is that you're going to take over the world and build a caliphate. And you're going to rule. And if you have to kill people to do it, you do it. They think there's nothing wrong with killing people to advance their cause. I'm talking about those that believe that radical view.
Yeah, that radical Islam.
Yeah, it's right in the book. Right in the book. And so think about that. Do a little research. Do your own homework on it. Don't believe the thing I'm telling you until you research it and find out it's true.
And don't wait till it's too late.
And don't wait till it's too late. That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Boy, you were so prepared because we had not talked about that at all before you came in, and you were ready to go.
I try to stay that way.
You stay on top of it.
You know, I believe it's important to maximize your gifts.
Yeah, a man ready.
Don't have to get ready.
Amen.
Absolutely. And I was going to talk about something else today, but we simply do not have time.
That'll teach you to ask me what's on my mind.
I'm going to be quick.
Okay.
Many years ago, better than 20, we had a situation where a young lady came to me in our church.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I can't worship here anymore. And I said, why not? You know, I'm assuming I said something she didn't like. That's happened. People don't like it, and they'll leave. Every pastor's dealt with that.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, there's a person in this church that molested me.
Oh.
And I can't stay here.
Oh.
Now, I don't have time talk more about it today, but next week we're going to talk about sexual predators and how and why sexual predators target churches. So I hope you'll tune in next week for that. God bless.
Folks, we'd like to thank you for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View. I'd like to invite you to services at the church. Of course, Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. So come and be a part of the services at the Highland Church of Christ, located 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. And join us next week at 10:30 on Thursday morning for another edition of God's Point of View.